You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We draft the draft here in a moment on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. We will snake draft through our favorite NFL draft bets because we are now just under 58 hours away from the NFL draft in Detroit. 1 hour from now, Connor Allen of 4 for 4 will join us with some of his perspectives. We've gone through a couple of updated mock drafts so far today, including talking to Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports. If you missed any of it, you know you can rewind inside your Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. It's free. Download it today and take the BetQL network with you wherever you are going, in the car, at the gym, at work, at home. That Odyssey app is the key to unlocking all of it, including segments on demand, by downloading BetQL Daily as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Back into the NBA in about 20 minutes with Von Dalzell of NBC Sports. We go through the game twos from last night. Do any of those three teams, Orlando, Philly, the Lakers, have a chance of coming back in those series? If so, how do they do it? And tonight's game twos as well. Minnesota, Milwaukee, and the Clippers all try to go up 2-0 at home. Today's MLB action in just a few moments as well before the top of the hour. But we'll simply go snake draft style. I have been deemed to go first overall by executive producer Paul Aspen, so I will take advantage of that opportunity. Then it'll go Joe, then Aaron again, then Joe again, then snake back to me for the sixth pick. We'll see how many rounds we get through. Some of our favorite draft bets, and really anything and everything that you can find to bet that's related to a draft market, feel free to throw it at the wall. We'll see if it sticks. I'm going to lead us off with something Ryan Wilson mentioned earlier. It's not a quarterback. It's not an over-under on a number of players to go at a certain position in the first round. Mm-hmm. It's a certain player to go in a semi-specific spot. We've talked about offensive tackle and offensive line a lot this morning because there are mock drafts that now have Joe Alt perhaps going fifth overall to the Chargers, right? Maybe they don't trade out of that spot. There's also the possibility he goes seventh to Tennessee. But then after Alt, the offensive tackle market somewhat open, right? J.C. Latham of Alabama is near the top. But we all know the value NFL teams put on left tackle specifically, protecting your quarterback's blind spot. There is one guy who is the most natural left tackle in this entire draft. He's only 21 years old, and that's after staying a year to finish his degree. And this is not a Penn State homer pick, because this guy was mocked in the top 10 of some people's drafts a year ago before he went back to school to finish his degree. Second O lineman off the board, Olufashinu. It's 4-1. That's my first overall pick as we draft the draft. Fashinu to be the second O lineman off the board. It's 4-1 right now. That is the longest shot I could find that I feel comfortable with as we draft the draft, Joe.
Yeah, it's up for grabs, the order there. Like after one, we know which offensive lineman we think is going one, but then the rest is like, throw it up in the air. I don't know how it's going to go. So that's a good bet at that specific number. I'm also sticking with offensive line. And it goes back to our conversation with Ryan Wilson. I had this marked down, but he made me feel even better about this bet. And it's number of offensive linemen in the first round. Now, we know the names that are locked in. Ault, Fuaga, Fashanu, Latham, Fatanu. Man, all these Fs that end in a vowel. That's five locked in. Probably Mims, probably Barton, probably Guyton. That gets us to eight. And I think people are like, oh, man, there's going to be this run offensive line. Maybe there is a run, but it doesn't mean we're getting a 10. He says Powers Johnson, he's getting word that he's going to fall out. Well, that was, according to most, going to be the ninth guy. And then I don't know that Jordan Morgan's going to go. That's a coin toss. There are a couple other coin tosses up there. I think we're going to go under 9.5 offensive linemen. That is good plus money, at least plus 160. So, yeah, I'm going that. It might be eight. It might not be that much of a sweat, but I'm going under 9.5 offensive linemen.
Okay. I love it. All right. So it does seem like Marvin Harrison Jr. will go to the Cardinals. However, if there is some type of shakeup, and we have heard quite a bit about some teams liking neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr., second wide receiver selected, is plus 750. Ooh. I really like that simply because of the value. Now this plus 750. Look, that is Joe's crazy eyes. To me. This is not what I think is going to happen. This is more of like, hey, if a little chaos happens there, some trades or something, the value is just too good to walk away from. Now, the other way you could look at it is Malik Nabers, first wide receiver selected, but that's only plus 550. It's basically the same bet if you do Harrison as second. So that's my favorite one.
That number made both of our eyes bug out of our heads, Joe. I really like that one. All right, we're going snake style, so you get a second pick here, Hawk. What's your next one?
Whoo! All right. I don't love this one, but since I am in Washington, what if it's not Jaden Daniels? Drake May? Drake May, number two overall. I'm not sure they've even decided there in that building. It does sound like, just talking to Scott Smith, that perhaps there is, you know, some conflicts going on internally and who's number two. I think it's probably going to be Daniels, but you can get some better value on May. I was thinking about this, and I like your guys' opinion on it. I probably should have bet both of them at some point. You could have got both Daniels and May at some good plus money, and maybe I should have just bet both. Yeah. When it's kind of up in the air, or is that, what do you guys think about that strategy for next year? If you see an opportunity like this, just bet them both and wait for the plus money opportunities.
It feels like there is always one of those opportunities at first or second where there's this debate. So last year it was Bryce Young or Stroud, which one was going to go first? Both were plus money at different times. And this year, fairly early in the draft process, we were talking about it before most, it's going to be Caleb. There's no doubt about it. So it was, okay, which quarterback is going to go to? There was never anybody else part of that conversation.
No.
So, yeah, I guess in hindsight, plus money on both sides, yes, you would grab that. Yeah, I guess there was plus money on Daniels, but that was a while ago.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, right out of the Super Bowl going into draft season, it felt like there was, you could still get, I want
to
say
two
at least
one?
Two, if not 2.5, maybe on
too.
Daniels.
Yeah.
If you were able to get that and then know that you're going to be able to get May at 330 right now, 350 in some places. I mean, that's tough though. To Joe's point, Aaron, like you have to be able to identify where the contentious spot is going to be right out of the gate. Like last year, to his point, you know, we knew it was going to be Young or Stroud one overall, and then identify where the break point is when the buy spot comes in on the other guy. It's in retrospect, it's a look worth considering when we get to next January and February. and we run into that again. All right, we're drafting the draft. Our favorite NFL draft bets. Joe, we both went offensive line with our first picks. What do you do with your second one?
I want to go offensive line. And I was, and I don't know. Here's where I'm torn. Which Latham bet do I want to make? That's where I'm torn at this moment. So I was considering, you made a second offensive lineman bet. I have one circled as well, just on a different player. I was considering Latham as a second offensive lineman taken, which is plus 300.
Okay.
But if he's going to be the second offensive lineman taken, does that mean he's a top 10 pick? If he's a top 10 pick, that's a better number at plus 425. So that's,
I don't know if it's a lock that he goes top 10, though, because really it's just LA and Tennessee that feel like the givens for O-line in the top 10. The only question would be, do the Jets decide to go O-line instead of doing what everybody and their mother expects them to do, which is Brock Bowers at 10?
See, I think whichever offensive lineman is the second one taken is going to be in the top 10. If that makes any sense, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the Jets, and maybe we'll come back to that one later. So I'll say Latham top 10. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. Instead of plus 300, I'll take the plus 425, getting, you know, knocking on. Maybe if you shop around, you can find something close to a 5-1. I'll say Latham top 10.
Okay. I am going to come around to – this is narrative. This is pure narrative. But and it starts at the top of the draft, and it ends maybe as soon as – 13th overall, maybe as late as the mid-30s. We know that Antonio Pierce, how many times have we heard the story, has a relationship with Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels would love to be a Raider, and Antonio Pierce obviously would love to have Jaden Daniels as his quarterback. That's not going to happen. Jaden Daniels is going to Washington, most likely. If not, then he's going very soon after that. He won't make it to Vegas, and Vegas doesn't really have the capital to trade into a spot where they could get Jaden Daniels. So what happens? Antonio Pierce has this longing in his heart for a quarterback. Maybe a quarterback with size and speed and vision and a big arm. Somebody who reminds him a little bit of Jaden Daniels. And he wants his quarterback. Maybe he jumps on it at 13. Maybe his front office gets him to back off and they trade back up into the late first or early second rounds. And they go with Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. to the Raiders, regardless of slot, is 2-1. Michael Penix Jr. as a Raider at 2-1. Give me that. And since we're snaking, I guess that gives me another pick as well. And this is one that I kind of brought up. It's a little far-fetched, but I just like the, again, I like the narrative. I like the idea that I brought up when we talked to Ryan Wilson earlier of the Giants throwing everything on its head at number 3. They trade with the Patriots up to 3rd overall, and they take a quarterback. Plus 175 for the Giants' first position taken to be a quarterback will be my 3rd pick.
Man, the Giants, you've got to do that, don't you? Like, what are you doing if you're like, Daniel, keep building around Daniel Jones? We really don't have that answer yet.
The problem is if you sit where you're at, right? If you stay where you're at 6, you're not drafting JJ McCarthy 6th overall. I don't think. I think they're smarter than, well, maybe they're not. But I don't draft JJ McCarthy 6th overall. I either wait until to get back late into the first round or early in the second and get Penix or Nix, whoever is available, or I move up and I get a real impact quarterback, or at least a bigger impact than McCarthy or Nix or Penix, and I take a swing at Drake May if he's still sitting there at 3.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go to defensive players. It's defined at the books, defensive lineman slash edge. How many are going in the first round? The locked-in ones, Turner, Latu, Murphy, Verse. I think Chop Robinson's locked in, so now we're at 5. Okay? So can we get to 2 more? I think we can. Newton, to everyone, it looks like everyone has him as a first-round pick. It's going to be late. It's going to be dicey. And is Robinson going to be there as well? That's kind of what the bet is. Here's the thing. If I'm going over 6.5, Darius Robinson, if I'm going over 6.5, I'm getting 2-1. And looking at the latest mocks with Robinson, 27, 31, 29, not in the first, 29, 26, 27. Oh, the majority have him being a first-round pick. And that would mean that you're getting to the 7 number, and the price is 2-1. And I think about where we were in the league this past year, where defense was kind of the way, the lack of scoring. And, you know, maybe teams go a little more defensive late in the first round. So I'm going to say we're going to have over 6.5 defensive linemen / edge players go at 2-1.
Okay. I like that look. Aaron, one more for you.
Ah, this is like the Super Bowl. I found a fantastic draft betting market. So Caleb Williams' mom has been a nail tech his whole life. She's been painting his nails on game day. Primary color of Caleb Williams' nail polish: black +150, orange 2-1, white 5-1, pink, he's not doing pink again, 6-1. Blue 7-1.
Blue's good value.
I like that. Blue.
I don't know if there's
1.
A history.
I agree. Yeah.
Blue or
I need
orange?
To know
Bears colors, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, or white. I think white could be in the
is
mix
red up
too.
There?
That's a tough one. Red is not on there, but real quick, who will number 1 overall pick hug first? He's gonna hug his mom. Remember, he hugged her crying in the stands. Plus money on that. +125.
I want to know who's grading the difference between navy blue and black, because we could get a miss there, and I don't like what these books might do to us who are taking bets on nail colors. Exactly. Yeah. We go NBA. Game 2s, 3 big ones tonight. Von Dalzell of NBC Sports joins us to talk about them on BetQL Daily.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
3 teams now up 2-0, another 3 trying to go up 2-0, all at home tonight. The NBA playoffs have been dramatic, to say the least, in the last 24 hours, even if game ones weren't. Yep, we got plenty of drama in Denver and at the Garden in New York last night. Von Dalzell of NBC Sports joins us in a moment to talk about all of it. Today's MLB slate in about 20 minutes as well. What spots do we like? What spots do we not like? And top of the hour, back into the NFL draft with Connor Allen of 4 for 4. Lightning bets before we wrap up. Don't forget, you can take us with you wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, inside your Odyssey app, AUDACY, as we are live every weekday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the BetQL Network. This is BetQL Daily. Chris Mack alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. Von Dalzell of NBC Sports. Follow him on X at VMoneySports with some special friends joining him today as he's doing that rover thing and watching some dogs. And that, wow, that the eyes on that dog, Von, that is pure husky right there. That is look at that dog. She just wants to play.
Her name is Mello, and she's anything but Mello.
And she is not.
As you guys just saw before, and I had to literally move all my bobbleheads, my plants and stuff. This dog is 90 days old. She's a pup, so she is very curious, but excited to be here. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning. I got to ask, I'm sure there's a Timberwolves angle in here somewhere I'll work in, but I'll avoid it, even though at this age I'm definitely primed for dad joke territory. Let's start with last night, though. I asked Joe and Aaron this question earlier, right off the top of the show. I'll ask you, can any of the three teams that went down 0-2 last night, Sixers, Lakers, and I guess the Magic, if we got to talk about them, can any of these three teams come back to win their series?
I think one of the three. I think it's the Knicks. And I actually was disappointed last night. I didn't write out my series props because these two, there's another dog here crying. You could hear her probably. These two kept me too busy to finish my article. But I think the Knicks can win the series. I think I bet them to win in seven. I think it's a 6 or 7 game series there. I like the Sixers in game three. I'm on them already on a money line parlay and on the spread. It opened up around -1.5, -2. I thought that was farly incorrect. Now it's out to 4, 4.5, which I think is right. But for the other two, I like the Nuggets in 4 or 5. I said that I like the Cavs in 4 or 5. And now I'm feeling very strongly that both these series can end in 4. So what I've been thinking is, now that I missed the +475 on the Cavs this sweep and the 330 on the Nuggets this sweep, you could put those two together and get 10-to-1 odds for the next two games for each team. I think that's probably the way that I'm going to approach betting this one, because if you take the -105 to -115 they are in these two games, and then you roll it over to the following game, you're still not probably going to get 10-to-1 odds. So I would look for the best parlay odds on your books, but I think the Nuggets win in 4, and I think the Knicks stay alive here. I think the Sixers stay alive here, but I do think it's over for the Magic. Too young, and they cannot shoot threes.
100%. A couple things happening very early in the playoffs. Not only are unders hitting, they're hitting by a ton. Like two of the three games last night, they hit by 23 points in Orlando, Cleveland, then late at night, the Lakers and Nuggets. Both unders crushed. And the home teams refuse to lose. Is this something that you're looking at, or it's been a few days, it's the first round, nothing bettable here?
Yeah, I mean, I think the unders are always going to be in play. I think game ones, game sixes, and game sevens are the three games to be betting unders. I think those are all pivotal angles to be attacking. I'm kind of sad that I missed out on all the underplays, but I've been on home teams for the majority of these games. So I have noticed that I don't like to bet into trends. I think that's going to start reversing to some degree, mainly in the second round. But we thought there'd be a lot of, you know, 5, 6, 7 game series. And the more we're watching these games, I'm not trying to overreact, but I do believe a lot of these series will be shorter, like the Thunder and Pelicans. That's going to be over in 4, in my opinion. Celtics Heat, that'll be over in 4. And we just spoke on a few other games. So those type of games, I think the unders are in play, because those teams, you can see the quit on them in the third, fourth quarter. All right, we'll pack it up, save our energy for the next game. And then game two happened with Orlando last night, and they seemed the same way. Okay, we'll pack it up, save our energy for game three at home. And I just don't see a lot of these teams having the offensive firepower. Even the better offensive teams, like the Suns, only scored 95 and kind of quit there to save their firepower for tonight. So I like the unders. I like the home teams, but I do think a couple road teams are going to start getting some wins here, starting tonight, actually.
We saw the Ant-Man talking a lot of trash to KD, calling him old. The Suns are going to try to even up the series. Oh, what do you like in this matchup?
I didn't hear him. So I didn't know he said that. I would not be.
Oh yeah, KD Google it. There's a lot of things I can't repeat on air that he said to him, and it's not good.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards. I mean, that guy. He's definitely cocky. He's definitely very, very confident in what he's able to do. But off the court, not my favorite player. On the court, I love the guy though. I will say tonight, I like the Suns plus +3 and on the money line. I think they even the series up here. We haven't seen the best of the Suns' big three yet. I think the role players will have a much better performance here. But Kevin Durant in particular had a very, very good first half in that last game too. And you saw the Suns kind of pack it up in the fourth quarter. Like I said, save the energy for this game. So I think even a Suns first quarter bet would be appropriate too. I think they come out very aggressive here in this game. Devin Booker is an angle I looked at, over under 24.5 points. Last year, he scored 25-plus points in 10 of 11 postseason games. He went under in game one already. Like I said, didn't have a great start either. But I do think that that's probably an angle I'd be willing to take. Now that you brought Kevin Durant to my attention, that's something I would look at too, because I think he's going to be aggressive. And why Bradley Beal hasn't been the third guy they've wanted or healthy all season long, I do think he's going to play a crucial part in this series, and it could be tonight. So his props of 17.5 points, that's very, very low for a third role player on that type of team. So I'm looking at all those angles, but I like the Suns a lot tonight.
I know there's another big three out west that we could probably talk about when we get to Mavs Clippers, but I want to pause for just a moment and acknowledge the fact that the Bucks and Pacers are playing tonight. It's been shoved off to NBA TV rather than on TNT, where we'll get Suns, T-Wolves, and then Mavs Clippers. Milwaukee laying 1.5. They got Dame time in game one. Dame Lillard showed up and showed up in a big way in the first half. Pacers made some adjustments in the second half, though. Is this something that they can use going forward? Can they limit Lillard, and is it enough to get the series back to even, Vaughn?
I don't think they will limit Lillard. I mean, he had that experience in Portland where he had to carry teams by himself. So without Giannis, you know, I blanked. I was like, why did I not bet Damian Lillard game one over points, because he is the guy out there to be going hard, and he didn't score any points in the fourth quarter. So the adjustments Indiana made, I wouldn't chalk that up too much, because that was more of them just trying to make the game closer and have a chance. Because you know, in the NBA, if you're down 8 to 12 points with 5-6 minutes left, you still have a chance to win that game. And I think that the Bucks are probably the right side here. Indiana will probably win their games at home. If they win both games at home, the series will go 7. If they win one game, the series could be over in 5. Likely 6. The Bucks may not need Giannis, and that's because, as I mentioned before, neither of these teams play defense. But when you have Damian Lillard, I mean, how are you going to stop him? When Tyrese Halliburton or Pascal Siakam are the best two scorers for Indiana, and Halliburton takes 5 field goal attempts, you could see the frustration on him, just like you saw in Luka Doncic, which we'll get to. Those two players were furious when their teammates were taking shots and missing and they were wide open, or they felt they could take better shots. So I think Halliburton's going to have a bigger game here in game two. I wouldn't be scared of running back on his over 18 or 19.5 points, but the Bucks are the right side. They are clearly the better team even without Giannis. And I've been waiting to fade the Bucks, but like I said, I don't think it's going to be in round one. And after game one, I don't think I'm very confident in the Pacers for game two.
All right, yeah, let's jump to that game. Dallas, LA Clippers. Big picture first before we dive in. What side would you feel better about? Like, forget your bets that you have on the series. What would you feel better about? The Clippers side, like, man, we went up, we didn't have Kawhi, we're good. Or the Dallas side, like, we did nothing in the second quarter. That is not our offense that showed up in the first half. Now it's time to go. Kawhi, they're saying no contact, all this stuff. Which side would you feel better about right now?
Kawhi waiting for the Olympics to start playing. That's crazy. But the Dallas Mavericks is the side I would actually feel decent about. They are the side I like to begin the series. I've only bet the over 5.5 games played. But I think the Mavericks, like you said, that wasn't who they are early in that game. And you saw the frustrations. I mean, every time Luka Doncic gave the ball to Maxi Kleber, there was times when he stopped giving the ball to Maxi Kleber because he was so frustrated with him. And I can attest to it. I understand what it's like being that frustrated with your teammates and nothing working out. But I think it is a good bounce-back spot for them tonight. I'd rather take Luka Doncic's over 33.5 or 34.5 points rather than taking the Mavericks to win this game outright. But I don't think James Harden's going to come out and dominate like that. I don't think Paul George will make three or four triples in a row late in the game. I don't think Russell Westbrook, who I bet is over PRA, will go out there and dominate like he did and bring all that energy right away. I think the Mavericks will come out more focused here. I'd like to play them in the first quarter, first half. Angle attacks better because they're going to have to try and build that lead up and not go back down to Dallas 0-2. But I still think the Mavericks could win this series, and the sportsbooks all have them still as favorite in this series as well, which I think definitely means something.
Man, you took the words right out of my mouth. I wanted to ask you about James Harden. They're begging you to bet the over on his points. It's like 19 and a half.
What is
and
it?
He had 28.
Oh.
19 and a half. But I could see it. Like, the thing about Harden is he's so inconsistent. Like, is he going to show up this time again? Or do you look at assists? Maybe this is an assist game, or is it just a stay away altogether on Harden?
Yeah, I'd be willing to take an under on James Harden. I mean, I know the past two postseasons we've been on him about those inconsistencies a lot, and obviously he looked fantastic in game one. But Dallas isn't a team that defensively scares me really at all. But James Harden's a guy that he's going to take a lot of step-back threes. He's going to force his shots a lot. And in the playoffs, you guys will probably agree with this, but a lot of players have been frustrated with how officiating has been. And I know Luka Doncic was upset game one. He didn't get the calls that he wanted. LeBron talked about that last night in their game. But I definitely think that players that are hunting for fouls aren't getting them nearly as much. So a guy like James Harden, who hasn't been working for him, we see his numbers drop off the past 2 years because he doesn't get to the free throw line as often. That's why I'd be willing to take us under 19 and a half points. So I do like that call, Aaron. I haven't been in the prop market as much. I've been liking overs, which we all know are losing bets in the playoffs. So I might have to sprinkle the James Harden under.
Von Dalzell of NBC Sports. Follow him on Twitter at VMoneySports with us here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Let me ask about the Wednesday night games. How, if at all, do you bet Heat, Celtics, Pelicans, Thunder, whether it's a series bet or a game bet for Wednesday night with the spreads at 14.5 and 7.5?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think I could even bet the Celtics game by game. Like, it has to be live betting at this point. Those spreads and the total, just far too low for the total, far too high for the spreads. Miami, though, I do like the fact that Boston came out very focused, did not take Miami lightly without Jimmy Butler. So I'll note that. I played the Celtics a sweep in four. I parlayed the before game one with some things at plus 105. Wasn't sure how they look in game one because they had all that rest. They came out focused, like I said. So I think the Celtics sweep. Anywhere from 150 to 170, I think you could bet that. 1.5, 2 units, whatever. I think that's the way to play the Celtics and then live bet them game by game. Team totals for which team you think is probably going to let it go in the fourth quarter or third quarter and not care as much. As long as the Thunder and Pelicans are playing, I'll be parlaying the Thunder's money line. I do not think the Pelicans win a game in this series. Definitely not in OKC. I know that was the only game of a margin under 7 points in the first game ones, but I think the Thunder are clearly the better team. The Pelicans need so much out of Ingram and CJ McCollum, and they're just not quite getting the efficiency they wanted. Those two guys hitting like 35%, almost 40 field goal attempts. Not good enough in the postseason against the Thunder. So I parlayed the Thunder with the Sixers. I like that angle a lot. That was about plus 104 odds. I think the Sixers are the right side, which we'll get to that. But a lot of these games, I mean, these big favorites, I'd be looking at money line parlays because I don't think the one or two seeds are really going to lose that often here in the first round.
Last minute, Vaughn. Did the fart guy hear last week?
No, he didn't. He didn't watch. Okay. I'm seeing him tonight. I'm taking him to dinner tonight. Should I bring
where
it
you
up?
Going?
Yeah.
Where you going?
Oh.
What kind of spot?
I told him it was up to him. He said Buffalo Wild Wings. I thought, wow, what a cheap friend.
Yeah.
I love that. So yeah, I'll bring it up though. I'll tell him he's the fart guy on the show. He should check it out Tuesday. So
fart guy.
I'd love to have can you make an appearance on one of these hits? Just, you know, come over to your place.
I told him if I ever play this up big enough for him that we have to make a commercial for TJ Watt the Steelers of us farting and TJ Watt in the sack, and it's like a whole commercial to go to games or something. So let's do it. Let's bring him on.
All right, we'll start workshopping things. We'll make it happen. Von Dalzell of NBC Sports, at VMoney Sports on X. Follow him and his bets there. Good luck tonight, man. We'll talk to you again next week as the NBA playoffs progress. Connor Allen, top of the hour from 4 for 4 as we dive back into the NFL draft, somewhere around 57 hours and 23 minutes until the first round gets started. Today's MLB slate, some spots that we like, some spots we don't like so much next here on BetQL Daily.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Interesting slate on the diamond today. Today's MLB bets in just a second. A member of the list of losers on the mound for one team. List of losers adjacency because it's the White Sox as well. And plus our Oakland A's all on the way in just a moment here on BetQL Daily. Presented by BetMGM alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. We will get back into the NBA playoffs. Those game twos tonight. Suns getting 3.5 at Minnesota. Is it KD's revenge against Anthony Edwards like we were just talking about with Von Dalzell? Or can Minnesota go up 2-0? Indy, Milwaukee. Can Damian Lillard do it again and put the Bucks up 2-0 heading to Indy? And can the Clippers build off of a big game one win over a Mavs team that came out slow and sleepy in the first half over the weekend? Mavericks laying 2.5 on the road. All of that coming up at 11:20 Eastern. We are live coast to coast on the BetQL Network. Connor Allen of 4 for 4 to talk NFL draft at the top of the hour. But MLB bets looking across the board today. We do have a list of losers member on the mound. Patrick Corbin going for the Nats against the Dodgers. 8.06 ERA. Dear Lord, why is this man still in a major league starting rotation, Aaron?
Listen, where's the fantasy exec? Let him know I got a plus money banger that I just looked up. I thought the same thing, Chris. One of my favorite fellas on the list of losers, Patrick Corbin. Here he is with his 8.06 ERA. So I head on over to FanGraphs. I look up his advanced metrics. Find?
Bad.
His expected ERA. Yep, here comes the XFIP as well. XFIP, wait for it, 416. And then I thought, wow, why don't I check out Paxton on the other side? 281 ERA, but his expected ERA, 512. XFIP, 603. Let's go. I'm backing Patrick Corbin. First five. Nats. First five result. Plus 195. It's a plus money banger, Joe. Wow. Feel free to fade it if you want to. I see that facial expression.
No, I'm just not going to bet it.
Yeah,
I'm not
there's
gonna...
something.
Yeah.
There might be something to this. The Dodgers have scuffled lately. They lost 7
I
out
know.
Of 10. And the Nats, they're you know, 5-5 in their last 10, two-game winning streak coming in, only a game under 500. They're at home. Maybe there's something here. Might be tailing this, Hawk. Baseball,
hey, if the
Hawk,
A's, if the A's can money line 2-1, get the dub for Jake yesterday, let's continue this trend. I'll be on the Nats.
You guys didn't catch the off-air part, because as soon as the show ends, Jake's like, oh, yeah, I like the White Sox today. Where was that on the show? And don't do that. Try to tell him, don't do that. He's like, nope, I'm doing it.
He did it. And he paid the price because the Twins were
all over the spot.
And now
I'm never, ever going to do it again. I learned my lesson. We're never going back to that well.
This might be the worst team ever.
Good.
Like, it
might
be.
Bad. It's at the top of our rundown sheet, some of the season-long baseball props we locked in right before the year started. And that White Sox to have the worst record, I feel better about every single day. It's like stealing money at this point. Eric Fetty, Fetty Wap, goes today in the Twin Cities against Pablo Lopez. Twins run line is -130. I think that's a good look. Because Fetty is, like I said, list of losers adjacent, because every member of the White Sox rotation not named Crochet is technically on the list of losers, and Fetty is chief amongst them. I think there's an interesting look in Cincy. Andrew Abbott against Sanchez and the Phillies. I like the first five under there. Both of them have started the year fairly well, both starters. First five under 4.5 is -125. And our Oakland A's. This might be another first five under 4.5. It's also -125. Paul Blackburn going against Marcus Stroman in the Bronx, Joe.
What are you going to do? You going to do that?
Not. Blackburn's 108 ERA. Stroman's pitched well so far. He won't fall apart until later in the year. 242 ERA. Yeah, I kind of like the under first five look there.
Okay. Oh, under. Okay, that makes more sense. The under first five.
Yeah.
What stood out to me is the number of lefties.
What? What do you want him to do? Full game under?
You can't do that again. Like
full game under alt line, Jake. How about that?
Watch me. Yeah.
No, we're saying aside. That's what he's saying. That you ran to the total.
So what are you going with then, Jake? You going A's money line +180?
We're going A's money line again, dude. We're doing it again.
Yeah.
Is Stroman already?
No.
Stroman's FIP is 4. Like, even if it has to go down to the wire again like yesterday, I trust this is insane to say. I trust the A's bullpen more than I trust the Yankees bullpen, especially when it comes to the closer.
Wow.
Okay.
We're not even getting 2-1 on the Athletics straight up, right?
I mean, they weren't going to hang 2-1 again, but +180, like that, I still think that's too high of a price.
Close enough.
Jake, don't let hate cloud your judgment. That's what this is, this Yankees hate. And I don't, I hate the Yankees.
It worked yesterday.
It did.
And I've been Oakland A's enjoyer, Jake Hassan, all year. This isn't hatred. Right. This is pure, unadulterated baseball, baby.
All right, so I'm going to go look at the team that is below the Athletics in that division. Let's talk about the Houston Astros, okay? They're visiting the Cubs. Astros, slight favorites, basically a coin toss when you take a look at it. Francis had an awful start to the season here. A lot of Astros. That's been the scenario.
Have had an awful start, yeah.
Yeah, you've got Wicks going for the Cubs. Now, I will say that when you look at teams against lefties over the last couple of years, Astros are elite, including this year's sample size, but I'm going to include last year as well. And maybe you don't want to look at last year too much, but they are a top three offense against lefties, third in weighted runs created plus over the last 2 years. And Wicks is not lights out by any means. Like, he's going to rack up a lot of strikeouts, but when you look at some of the other numbers, it's like, okay. Peripherals are better than his 5.29 ERA, but is he gonna pitch to that? I don't know. Should it be a coin flip between the Astros and the Cubs? Are we going a little bit too far? Francis' peripherals also better than his 7.08 ERA because it can't be worse. But yeah, I'll trust their success against lefties. Give me the Astros today at -115. They're calling this a coin toss now. I just think we're going too far. Okay.
All right. I know Aaron's excited about one starter in particular who has now caught her eye like a shiny object. She can't pull her eyes away from it. And he'll just put a pin in this, as they say, Hawk. Baseball Hawk, keep an eye out for Saturday afternoon when your Pittsburgh Pirates, they're not even mine anymore, visit the San Francisco Giants and Jared Jones. Taco meat on display is out there on the mound.
So hot. So I had a question because there's a lot of taco meat talk on this show yesterday. And I'm like, how do you guys even know he has chest hair? Well, sure enough, The texts start flying in of pictures with Jared Jones and his unbuttoned uniform. And, you know, it was just there for everyone to see. I guess I don't watch enough baseball up close to see. I couldn't tell. I'm like, how can you tell?
This guy's got you. There's an even better picture.
You turn on the Pittsburgh Pirates game Saturday, yeah. You're going to see Aaron Hawksworth right behind home plate, front row ticks.
Binoculars? Just.
Yeah.
Binoculars, I mean, behind home plate would be crazy.
She flies all the way out to San Francisco. There's one from his first start of the year in Miami, and it was Miami, but the roof was open. It was humid. And that, I mean, all three buttons are undone, and it's sweaty, and it's just, it's like old El Paso there. It's just, it's screaming taco meat. And I got to find that
sauce.
One and send it to you, Hawk.
So we're four just here, Aaron? Well, it's just you, not we.
This guy's got some swag. I'm about to follow him on Instagram.
He dropped a slider last night that killed a man.
So you don't hate chest hair? Is that what you're saying?
I don't hate it. Not against it.
Some people like it bare.
Hold on. Look at the one I just texted you on. Yeah, slow down.
Just ask Antonio Brown.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, I love it. It's so good.
You don't know what I'm talking about. Google it, ladies and gentlemen.
Caitlin Clark, but AB. Yeah.
Don't. I'm telling you right now, that is something you don't need to Google today. I know that now curiosity is going to get the best of you, and you're going to Google Antonio Brown, Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
Just don't do it to yourself.
I know most of the times when we ask this question, it's yes. But with this specific comment, was AB out of line?
I think
no, he wasn't. Wait. I mean, I kind of agree.
Oh, come on. This is worse than Greg Doyle. Like this is eclipsed Greg Doyle for creep factor. When AB starts to question what's going on there.
Did she respond, by the way? Because that would have been a great move.
There's been a lot of weird Caitlin Clark stuff going on. So there was the guy hitting on her at the press conference, right? So I think that's one that really went viral, her response to that.
Who doesn't want a sugar mama these days?
So what's creepier then? Greg Doyle going like this and saying, if you do that, then it will be fine. Or AB and whatever he tweeted, which I'm not going to repeat on the air.
Was that Greg Doyle? I missed that part.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was Greg Doyle.
Yes.
That's insane. I just thought it was
much more newsworthy. God.
I didn't even know. I just, every story was reporter. I didn't see his name on that.
Wow.
Yeah. I think AB's creepier still.
Nope, I disagree. Because you know what you're getting with AB. This is just, he's off the reservation.
He's leaning into it now, I think.
Yes.
That's true. You're right about that. NBA playoffs tonight. Game twos in Minnesota, Milwaukee, and LA. But coming up next, back to the NFL draft. Connor Allen of 4 for 4 next here on BetQL Daily.